The next question I was going to ask is, y'all remember anything from last week? No. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to try to get to verse 7, and that's where the meat of the message would be. But I found me and Peyton sat down today, and I kind of asked him some questions. He's the theologian of our home. I was kidding. He is. He's a good young man. And well, sometimes if I say it out loud to somebody, it starts to make more sense to me. So we got into verse, let's see. I think we'll get in there in a minute. I'll show you where we're at. In season and out of season. He had a good explanation for that, so I might steal some of his wisdom tonight. Verse 4, are y'all there? Everybody there? Good, let's get in the Word. I charge thee therefore, God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Let's stop right there for a moment. I want y'all to take a little inventory right here. I charge thee, I want you to understand this, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. I just want you to know this. God will judge every single person sitting under the sound of my voice. But one day, at the end of your life, God will judge you. You will stand before God and give an account for your life. And sometimes as Christians, we forget that. We forget and get caught up in some things that don't matter. And we wear ourselves out with things that don't matter. And we have to realize one day we're going to stand right before God and we're going to have to give an account for this life. Every idle word we say, every thought that we think, amen? And that should sober you up a little bit. Not in a alcohol or drug way, but in a Christian walk kind of way. When I read that again today, I thought to myself, man, whew, I got to watch how I think and what I say and what I do. And I need to remind myself quite often that at the end of this life, the most important thing is taken care of is my eternal life. But I've got to give an account. I'm a steward. God gave it, but we got to live it. God gave it, but we got to walk it out. God gave it, but we got to be stewards. We got to be stewards with our time, with our thoughts, with our actions, with our money, with our everything we do. Well, that's hard, ain't it? But it's true. I'm telling you, when Paul wrote these letters, he wrote them to Christians. These letters are not written to lost people. The Gospels are for lost people to bring them to Christ. These are written to us, to bring us to a place of servanthood and understanding where we need to be. Verse 2, preach the word. Here's what we're talking about. Preach the word. Some of y'all are sitting here going like, thank God, that's just for Tim. That's just for young preachers. I believe there's a lot of leaders in this room. I believe there's a lot of people in this room. On a Wednesday night, this is the core of our church. Your Wednesday night service is usually your core. You kind of look at church as like a target, like a bowling, like a target. You got your outer ring, got your middle ring, you got your maybe the closest, then you got your real center core. Okay, your Wednesday night crowd a lot of times is your core of your church. It is who you are. Amen. That means we can't run you people off with nothing. Can't get rid of you. We've tried. Why are you laughing? I'm just kidding. No, I'm being serious. Listen, that's your core of your church. But listen, the core of your church can expand out and grow and grow and grow, because what you got to do is you can't get to a place where you say, I'm satisfied where I'm at. I'm satisfied. I'm good. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't got to deal with my issues. I ain't got to deal with nobody else's issues. I'll just ride this thing on out. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. What would be good is you preach the word. You share the word. The word is Jesus. The word is your testimony. The word is the word of God. You should be sharpening yourself constantly. Amen? Yeah. Being prepared to tell somebody, why do you have joy? I mean, man, I run into people all the time. I run into a guy today. He said, man, things are getting so bad. Well, I mean, being honest with you, if you read the Bible, it's got to get bad before Jesus comes back. So this is an opportunity when somebody sees or says that, we can say, but yeah, there's a hope, there's a joy, there's a peace, there's a way. Amen? You ain't got to be so upset about this. Amen? I mean, as a Christian, sometimes the more bad news I hear, I know it stinks. But I can almost be like, man, God could come back any minute now. And even if he don't, man, I'm one day closer to getting to home. Amen? So think about that. Preach the word. Be instant in season. We're going to cover this a little bit. I've always wanted to preach this. And I was sitting there trying to get it back and forth, file it out with me and Peyton. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. In season, be instant in season and out of season. Man, I hunted all over the place. I was looking through everything. I'm thinking, man, give me a word that's going to make this make sense, right? But then it come down to simple. Me and Peyton was talking back and forth, and we was talking about farmers. And, man, that's how simple the Word of God is sometimes. When you're sowing seed, there's times of great harvest. Amen? You can go out there, let's say corn, tomatoes, whatever you want to call it. You go out there, and you see it's on the vine. Amen? The grapes are on the vine. The tomatoes are on the vine. The corns are in the stalk. You know, you see it, you're like, ain't gonna be long, we'll be eating corn. Ain't gonna be long, we'll eat tomatoes. If you're a real good farmer, real true farmer, ain't gonna be long, we're gonna make money, right? Because, I mean, the harvest is almost here, amen? And you can get excited. I don't care if the fruit's this big or if it's big enough to pull off the vine. You understand what I'm saying? Those times are easy. Okay, as a preacher, as a teacher, as a councilman, as a Sunday school teacher, as somebody that works in Awana, there's gonna be times we're over here ringing the bell. Bing, bing, bing. Oh, praise God. God saved. I mean, souls, there's going to be kids. There's going to be adults. There's going to be people. I'm excited. I want to get saved. I want to get baptized. I want to join a church. You'll be teaching your Sunday school class, and people will come to you afterwards and say, I am on fire. Amen? I'm loving this study. Hey, Gary, I'm loving this study. Man, this is good. Jared, man, this thing's awesome. This book of Daniel, man, it's got me on fire. Amen? Makes me want to sleep in a lion's den. Maybe want to jump in a fire pit. And you got to warn them. Look, don't. But then you got to think about this stuff. And you think, wait a minute. Those are the times when you're instant in season. It's easy. I mean, Sunday school, you're getting your books ready. You're getting your car. I mean, you're coming to church. You're like, yes. God, come on. Y'all are coming to one. And you're like, yeah. But then there's going to be times when you're out of season. Amen. Nobody's got saved for a while. Nobody's getting baptized. Nobody's asking to join a church. Matter of fact, they might have been three or four you ain't seen in a while. Amen. The kids are acting nuts at Awana. I guess that don't happen, does it? Amen. Your Sunday school class has dwindled down. They look at you like your teeth. Like, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when I'm preaching, it's like preaching at a funeral. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I'm serious. I mean, you know what? I mean, stop talking about something. I mean, it's hard enough. You know what it is? Guess what? You guys work. You got real lives. You got to come in here on Wednesday night. And what? You don't feel like it sometimes. Praise God. And guess what? You ain't always going to be like, hey, ring the bell, son, do it. Guess what? We got to be instant in season. When those seeds are in the ground, when there's just a sprout, when you don't know, when there's a frost, when there's a freeze, when there's a hail, when there's storms coming, you don't know what is going to happen with your crop as a farmer. Sometimes you don't know what's going to happen with the church. You don't know what's going to happen with Sunday school. You don't know what's going to happen with one. Guess what you got to do? Preach anyway. Teach anyway. Sing anyway. Praise anyway. Play anyway. Do what you're called to do anyway. Right? Is that right? And guess what? Praise God, it works out. Amen? Hey, there's all kinds of seasons to it. And people say, well, you're just doing this. It's just seasons. Amen? It's just seasons. Verse 4. No. I think it's verse 3. For time will come when they will not endure. Man, we need to hear this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Can I preach on this just for a second? Give y'all a little. Do y'all have anybody in your mind when I say this? There's false teachers and false preachers in the world. Y'all have anybody in your mind? Don't say it out loud, please. When you hear them preach or hear them teach, you're thinking, yeah, you're such a phony. All you're wanting is money. You're a prosperity preacher. You're just doing it. You got somebody? Thinking about somebody? I got a couple. Amen? They're a shyster. They've been around forever, right? But let me show you something in verse 3. Let's look at it again. I want y'all to see this. Is it their fault as much as it is the congregation. Listen to this. For the time will come when they who, the multitude of people, will not endure sound doctrine, good preaching. Amen. But after their what? Their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Whose fault is it? Think about it. Whose fault is it? They. It's the multitude. It's not the one. Amen. There's always going to be false teachers. There's all going to be prosperity preachers. There's always going to be fake people selling snake oil and doing all the other stuff. Guess what? It's all about the people and what they want. Do you want sound doctrine or do you want somebody to tell you stuff that'll make your ears feel good? Amen. Listen, I don't mind hard preaching. I don't mind. You know, heaven bound preaching, hell bound preaching. I don't mind either way, because praise God, it makes me excited both ways. It reminds me of who I was and who I am. Amen. I want good sound doctrine preaching. I don't care if it hurts my feelings. Praise God, I need to figure out why. If it gets me excited, I better stay excited. Amen. Does that make sense to you? But every time I think about these, I got a couple of them. I see them, and I'm like, who in the world? Man, this guy is, you know what? He wouldn't have a pulpit if there wasn't people. He wouldn't have a microphone. There wouldn't be a TV show. There wouldn't be nothing if there wasn't a bunch of people who said, you know what? I want to hear that kind of stuff. I want to hear, you know what? If I'm doing well, God loves me. And if I'm not doing well, God don't love me. That's the opposite of the Bible, by the way. God loves people regardless. But guess what? While I'm here, I might as well run through this patch real quick. God can absolutely love you and give you a life that's so hard that most people would think God's against you instead of for you. Amen. Man, let's just get it over. We'll go home after that one. Y'all get that? Amen. Y'all hear what I just said? God can love you so much. He had your refrigerator on your picture on his refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can have a life. But when most people talk about you, they would say, I think God's against him. I think he's done it. I think she's done something wrong. Amen? But God would say, I can trust them, the burdens that I put on. If what I put on them, they'll love me in spite of what they're doing. Amen? I remember one of my favorite preachers, my best friend, I call him pastor. He got real sick. He was laid up in the hospital. One of the most annoying men God I know. And I got called to myself, I wonder what Bob's been doing to deserve to be in the hospital. It's like, nothing. I said, he's probably trying to show you that he's not God. Amen. And to look past him and look to God. Y'all, write this down, matter of fact, write this down. Stop putting pastors and preachers on pedestals. Amen. Stop putting people in your family on pedestals of godly people that you look to be God for you. Because I'm going to tell you right now what God will do. If you have those people, he will move them out of the way for you. Amen? And he will get you totally dependent on him instead of them. Man, I'm doing better preaching than y'all are letting on. That's good stuff. Amen? I know a lot of people who, man, they focus, they think daddy is God. And they'll reference daddy more than God. Pastor more than God. Preacher more than God. Pray, let me tell you something. God will take them off that pedestal and put them on, not that he don't love them and care about them, but he will move them where you will look past them and see the true one who's on the pedestal, and that's God. Amen. I'm telling you. I've seen him do it so many times that it scares me when somebody comes up to me and says, brother, it's all you. I'm like, shut, be quiet. I was going to say shut up. Shut up. Don't do that. Amen. I'm with you. No, listen. I'm just preaching you healthy, okay? I'm not preaching you what I want you to. You know, I'm going to preach you healthy. You follow God. Don't follow God. Follow God. Amen. If you follow the love of God, you say, God, where do you want me to do? What should we do? You know what? You'll be a healthy Christian. If you try to follow a pastor, a preacher, evangelist, or whatever, guess you what you'll do? You'll be a sick Christian for a while. That's pretty good though, right? Kind of, ain't it amazing some of the stuff you preach when it ain't being recorded? Man, goodness gracious. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to go back and get this tape myself. I might have to get back into this again. Amen? All right, let's go verse 4. And they shall, listen, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. They'll like good stories more than the Word of God. We're trying to get somewhere. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make foolproof the ministry. I thought that was interesting. He tells Timothy, who's going to be a young pastor, in the middle of that he says, do the work of an evangelist. Listen, I don't know if you know this or not. I'm more of an evangelist than I'm a pastor. Y'all didn't have to agree so fast. I'm learning, amen? But when God first sent me back to pastoring, I had that conversation with him. I said, God, you know me. I'm more of an evangelist. And I'm being honest with you. I'd much rather preach a gospel message and hear people come to the Lord and have that draw. That just is where I'm at, amen? So I'm like, God, you know that I'm going back to the church. Now here I'm teaching stuff like this, so I must be doing something different, amen? I'm not going to say good, amen? But I want you to hear this. God said the church needs evangelizing, amen? As much as it needs anything, amen? We have to have a spirit of evangelism. So when I read this, every pastor should have a desire to have an evangelistic heart. Do the work of an evangelist. Amen. Evangelism. We need to have a heart for lost people. I think the church has suffered greatly over the years trying to focus on itself than focusing on a lost and dying world. But the church will not grow and prosper and be a great church if we don't have people who will come in here and become part of the church. Y'all know that, right? We can reproduce all the kids we want. We could. And we're trying, believe me. Amen. I mean, we're some of the nursery workers saying, shut your mouth, you know what I'm talking about. But praise God, without lost people and new people coming into this church and being a part of it, that still will be, the growth will stop and literally start to fold down on itself, and you'll have less and less. You understand? So we have to do the work of evangelists. And guess where that work's done? It's not my job to do it. I've got to have an evangelist work to you, and you've got to go do the evangelist work. This is my fishing hole. Not yours. No, Derek, no, you can't fish here. Amen? No, you can't fish here. He's a fisherman. He's a hunting fishing guy. I didn't know him one time. But you can't fish. This is where I fish. This is where I work. Amen? You got to go out there and work and bring them. You got to bring them in here. Amen? You know, you say, well, I got to bring them in here and get them saved. No, praise God, even better. You minister the word of God, you share your testimony, you share the gospel, you share the love of Jesus, you forgive some people, hallelujah. Write that one down. Forgive some people, and guess what? You bring them in here, saved already, and guess what? We'll preach into their lives and see them grow, amen? Because a lot of people are going to tell you they're going to come to church, and they won't never show up. You are the church. You say, hey, man, next time you hear that, try this one. Somebody says, I'll come to church with you. Don't worry, the church is coming to you. Here I am. Amen? Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Amen? And that's the way it works. Verse 6, for I am now ready. Whew. Glory, glory, glory. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul has the grace of going home right here. I had a conversation with somebody earlier this week. They were talking about how do people die? You know, how do Christians die? Have you ever met somebody who's about to pass over as a Christian? And they got this peace and this strength and this, you know, and they're just doing better. And you're sitting there falling apart. Amen? You're falling apart and they're like, I can't wait, you know. I'm ready, you know. I don't have to worry about my diet anymore. I don't have to worry about what I eat. No, never mind, yeah. I met a man, he was on his deathbed, and I went down there and he asked me to read the scriptures. And man, I was down there reading the scriptures with him. It was last night. I remember, what was his name? Donald? Yeah, Donald. But anyway, I went down there, and Donald was a homeless man. Shining wheels on tractor trailers. We're about to be happy. Pray for God to save him, and a person sending people to drop him a baby in my woods. Call him and put him in a room down in Carnival, Georgia. The room number was his birthday.
didn't check out. He said, I don't have nowhere to go. The woman said, I'll take you to Providence Ministry. Well, I ministered to him. He ministered to me over years. When he was about to die, God spoke to my heart. I was coming home from the beach. I was preaching somewhere. I was about to walk in our home. And God said, if you want to speak to God, it's the last place you can go. All right, so I go down there. I said, just meet him. We'll have a conversation about it. And he said, will you read me some scripture? And I did. He was on the board being so strong. He was in and out. And I was reading that scripture. And I said, and he jumped over. He let go of the wall. I read the wall. And I got that part. I said, he let go of the wall. He was really in the wall. So then I was so up. I stopped reading. And I got on the reading again. And he ran through the tree. And I go, amen. And I said, y'all worked in this. And he said, yeah. He goes, I want to pray for you. I mean, I said, oh, amen. I came down here to bless you. I come down here to see you, to pray for you, and you're going, what? He goes, bless you, brother. You've been a true friend of mine. I hope God uses you in a big way. It's been a pleasure and honor to serve you. And I'm sitting there melting down like a big old baby. And this guy's about to go out of the world.
Amen.
Oh, he said, the only thing you can pray for me before you go is pray that I go out quick.
Yeah.
He said, I want to go quick. Mate, if you really want to talk about all this, and, you know, some whipped cream on top of literally what he said, just pray that I go and sleep. You know what he did? He said, ain't that cool?
But that's what you get grace for every need. Amen. You say, well, I don't have the grace to die right now. Guess what? Get to living. Amen. Get to living. All right, let's get on. I'm about to finish, I promise. There's just so much when you get into this, you can't stop. There ain't no way we get to verse 7 and just preach verse 7. Ain't no way. I don't know how people do it. Verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Three things. Fight the fight, finish, and keep your faith. Amen. Simple stuff. I fought the good fight. Boy, I want y'all to make a note tonight. I want to make, if you don't write it down, make a mental note. Fight the good fight. Fighting the good fight of faith is different than sometimes what we think it is. Amen? We'll get to that in a minute. But stop fighting what you consider the fight of faith. Stop fighting things in the church. People in the church. Circumstances in the church. And fight the good fight of faith. Woo! Got quiet in here. Here's what you're supposed to fight. Here's what fighting the good fight of faith is. When you first write that, you think, people told me over the year, man, you're a warrior. You're a powerful man of God. The older I get, when I was young, I thought, yeah. The older I get, I realize I depend more on the grace of God every day than I do my own strength and my own wisdom and my own ability. I mean, without the grace of God, I am a heap of mess. Amen? What this means, I want y'all to hear this. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul would tell you the fight of faith is getting up every single day despite your fear, your anxiety, your madness, your anger, your depression, your inability, your lack thereof, what people say, what people think, what you think, and what you say to yourself, and you serve God anyway. Amen. Serve Him anyway. That's fighting the good fight of faith. Some days you will be a hero, and some days you will feel like a zero. Y'all understand what I just said? There are going to be, I'm telling you, there's times, and it is, you can talk to my wife about it. There are times that I feel like, man, I am being effective. I'm changing lives. I'm helping people. And there's sometimes that I feel like, man, I am mud. I am hurt. God can use anybody else. Why does He use me? I can't believe it. That was terrible. That was awful. That was... There's a whole lot of adjectives. But you know what I made up my mind? I don't care how that is. I'm going to preach again. I'm going to teach again. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to read again. I'm going to serve God again. Amen? That's the good fight of faith. That's inch by inch. That's mile by mile. Amen? That's day by day. That's, you got to get up sometimes and say, come on. I wish y'all, can y'all get, just think about, just think in this, just for a minute. There's times when you don't feel like a Christian. You don't feel like that you don't feel like reading, you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like talking about Jesus, you don't feel like coming to church. Amen? Is that right?
Yeah.
But praise God. Have you ever noticed when you push past those, how good it is? How they always
have. Yeah.
There's been times, God, y'all always said, what the question? There have been times that I sit there and look at my Bible on the top of the paper. God, how the voice will be. I said, God, I God's spiritual, like God, because God said it, God just said, hey, kid, look, I'm wrong, you know. But I'm like, you know, no one, what's on TV is awful.
Yeah.
Amen? What's in that book is awesome. Okay, y'all good? Let's get that second point, then we'll move on to the third, I promise. Listen, I have finished. Listen to this. I have fought, that's past tense. He fought the good fight. I have finished my course. Christians, listen. Finish, finish, finish. Men, finish. 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 Some of you men need to write this down. No matter what happens, I'm going to finish my walk with Christ. Some of y'all wonder why I said men. Some of y'all wondered. Because you know what? Sometimes we lean on our spouses as men. We go to church and we do the thing if our wives are going to be a part of it. Ooh, I'm preaching now. Y'all might not like this, but it's true. And if anything happens, we fold up. Amen? Get mad at God, get mad at everybody else. That's not finishing. Amen? That's not finishing. Finish with God. Amen? Women, same thing. Don't get mad. Don't get frustrated. Don't get upset about things that are going on in the church. Some things somebody said, somebody thought, somebody did, somebody hurt my feelings. Hey, guess what? I'm coming anyway. I'm going anyway. I'm going to finish anyway. Can I write this down? I want y'all to understand this. Write it down or think about it and make a note later. Some of y'all ain't going to make a note. I know it. Look at this. If you truly get saved, if you're truly saved, I don't know anybody that's truly saved who ever says, I want to go back and not serve God. I hate to question your faith like that, but if you ever think, man, I'm going to give up, I'm going to quit, you better check your salvation. Because there's something in me, since I've been saved, I can get as low, I can go as low, I can get as in weird in here as I can want to get, but then I remember who I was without Jesus. And you know what I say? There ain't nothing worth it. Quitting. They ain't nothing worth. Amen? Listen, y'all need to say that. They can be mad when I show up. They can hurt their feelings that I'm going to be there. They can talk about me. They can say this. They can think that. They can do whatever. But praise God, they didn't save me. Jesus did. I'm showing up not because of them, but because of Him. That's why I'm coming. Some of y'all need to get your focus right. We're not coming to church for them. We're coming for Him. And praise God, if you come for Him, the them will work out. That's good preaching, preacher. I'm telling you. Finish. And stop thinking about it about like you. Man, I want to move on so bad, but praise God, you're about to lose. Stop thinking about it as if it's just you. Your kids are watching. Your grandkids are watching. If you quit, they'll say, it's quittable. Dad and him quit. Mom quit. Grandma quit. Grandfather quit. My dad quit. My mom quit. Listen, if you quit, they'll quit. They'll say, well, you know what? There's a place you can reach in the church that you quit. No. No. There's no quitting place. I'm going to go there. I might as well. Was there a quitting place for Jesus? No. Did He go all the way to Calvary? Yes. Did He die on the cross? Yes. Did He purchase your sin debt? Yes. Did He finish? He said it. It is finished. Amen. Praise God. When you think about quitting, think about Him. You think about, man, I didn't get into this. Listen, you didn't get into Christianity for the quit or to start. You got in it because Jesus let you in it. You don't belong anyway. Praise God. Act like so. I mean, tell people sometimes, well, why do you think this? Because, well, hey, I didn't do this. Jesus did it. Pray, He thinks I'm all right. I'm all right. Man, that's good. Don't you need to remind yourself of that every once in a while? That you just need to finish? The world is quitting on everything. Just if somebody sees you finish something, they'll think something about you. Amen? He's finishing. She's finishing. Whew. Man, that's so good. Verse 7, I have kept the faith. Some of y'all need to change the way you deal with fear, anxiety, anger, unforgiveness. Some of you let your emotions reign over your lives. And then you say you have faith. Amen? But you are living out of bounds. And listen, here's why it's out of bounds. You are living a earth first mentality. Earth, and then at the end of earth, we get to go to heaven. I hate to tell you this. Everybody go to Ephesians chapter 2 real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. That just hit me. Verse 6. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. While you're going there. You have an earth first mentality. You have an earth first mentality. Earth, then heaven, right? That ain't the way it is. God, heaven, reigns over earth. Your faith should reign over your feelings. What I'm saying is, oh, well, you want me to stick my head in the ground or in the sand and deny my feelings. No, no, no. You can say I'm scared. You can say I'm mad. You can say I'm aggravated. And you can even be that. But at the end of the day, you need to say, guess what? I'm not going to remain mad, scared, hurt, unforgiving. Guess what? I'm going to let faith reign over that. I'm going to become forgiving. I'm going to get over being afraid because I'm not going to have to be afraid because God's in control of my life. I'm not going to be angry because I'm letting fear control my life and I'm angry at somebody because I don't see it correctly. God, let me forgive them and get over the anger. After a while, your fear, all your feelings will disappear under faith. Here, I'm going to show you why I said go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Y'all ready? Listen to this. I want y'all to get it because some of y'all are skeptical. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And He hath raised us up. Is that? Listen how this goes. And He hath raised us. Raised is past tense. You hear me? Is anybody in heaven already here? All right. Y'all just failed the test. I'm just kidding. No, listen. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody's here, right? And He hath raised us up together, past tense, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You hear what I just said? You're as much there as you are here. Amen? man, that's kind of a big deal. That's kind of a shouter. I'll read it again. And hath raised us up. That's past tense. Considering God. God is considering. Has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're in heaven. Amen? Okay, let me flip it this way. If you're in Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ is in you, he's on earth in you. You are. He is considering you a child, a resident of heaven as much as you are a resident of earth.
Amen.
But guess what? Heaven reigns over earth. It's greater. Whew. Some of y'all need to tell yourself, man, God's in control. God's in control. So I don't have to sit and let my feelings wear me out over my faith. You just got to shift. You got to take those and you got to do it on purpose. I'm angry. So what are you angry about? Talk about it. Then tell God to help you with your anger. What are you scared of? Golly, could we stay all night on that one? I'm telling you right now, sometimes you can build stuff up in your mind that ain't even happening. This is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to happen. And you're sitting there going, I'm going to go ahead and call the doctor now. Right?
Say it to God, give me peace. Man, give me peace.
Let me see what you see. Then pick you out some scriptures on what you're dealing with. And read those. Amen? The last thing you need to do, I'm going to close on this one. The last thing you need to do is Google it. WebMD. Is that better? I felt this when you called Super Doctor. WebMD. I'm dying. Amen? I got 1 foot in the grave right now. Amen? I've got the rarest disease. Only one man has got it. Let's all stand. Hey, did y'all learn anything tonight? Did you learn anything? Is any of this going to stay on the sticky side of your brain? Amen? I hope so. Amen? I hope so. There's so much in this. Let's do this one, right? We're gonna. What was it? I'm going to get my own notes messed up. Finish. What's before finish? Huh? Fight. Fight, finish, and your faith. Fight. You don't leave with anything else, leave with those. I didn't even remember the first one, so that's awesome. Remember to fight the good fight. That means day by day, amen? Inch by inch, mile by mile. You got to every day get up and say, you know what? If I'm going to do it, I'm going to fall forward. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to fight going towards God, amen? I'm going to finish. When somebody asks you, what are you going to do? Listen, you'll find me in two places. I'm going to be preaching, I'm going to attend, I'm going to do, or you'll find me doing it somewhere else. Go to the last place you knew where I was at. If I'm not there, ask them where I'm at. I'll be somewhere serving God. That's you right? Faith. You just got to change who's dominating. Heaven is in control. Amen? God is in control. Faith is in control. Feelings are not. Y'all good? Let's pray and we'll dismiss. Whew, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for a good word on Wednesday night. Lord, we've got so much coming up. We've got a Christmas program coming up with the young people of this church. The little bitty youth is up to our teenagers. Lord, we pray that you anoint that and save souls and change lives through that. We got a live nativity coming up. My God, I pray that you give somebody coming through here, they see God in that. Lord, you bless that. We've got church dinners coming up. We've got caroling. Lord, when we go caroling, let us encourage, lift up, and help some of the people that don't get to come out, that are shut in. Lord, let's pray that that'll be a blessing to others. And Lord, let us focus on this time of the year, that this season is about you. It's about Jesus coming to this earth and becoming the gift that we all needed. Lord, be with this church. Be with the ones that are sick. Lord, we pray for Leslie. Lord, we pray that you'd touch and watch over her as she goes through her surgery. Lord, we pray for all the others that are sick and needing of your healing and needing of your touch. Lord, we pray for the lost most of all, that they come to know you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.